Welcome back, everybody. This is part two for Do You Believe in Magic? So make sure you've listened to part one or you'll be backwards. So head on and find that. And we are going to pick up with the rest of the episode plot. But first, we are going to start with everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland! And this episode of Living in Shondaland is brought to you by our dear friends over at Shure. Thank you for being a huge part of this. Laura, as our special guest, unrelated to that, you are incredible. And I also want to share that I have a very special Pokemon card that I'm going to open up today. Oh. It is a themed trick-or-trade Halloween-themed Pokemon cards. Wow. I looked around just for one of these. It's just a little three-card booster we'll do after the guessing piece. But as well as thanking everyone for listening, make sure you do hit that like, subscribe, 5-star review button, hit the follow thing, share it on your Instagram stories, tell all your friends, tell all your family, everyone you've ever met. Follow us at Grey's Academy Pod for all the latest updates, and you know, join the Patreon. It's lots of fun. We talk about, you think this is random, man, get into the chat. So with so that true. Kelsey, I will turn it over to you. How many people do we have? I got a good feeling about this one. I'm gonna get them all.
We have two residents of Shondaland in this episode.
Two. I feel my first guess is gonna be the assistant. Is it? It's the girl assistant.
It's not.
Fuck, are you I hate this shit.
I didn't
so much.
Cast it.
It's not the grandma because she was in last episode. Is it the magician?
It is. One of them okay. is Danny the magician.
Ooh. Danny the magician. Okay. And then I can do this. Okay. It's one of the Moya parents?
No.
No? Oh, is it fucking Lauren?
No.
What?
Oh, I thought it was Lauren. I did too.
Okay, I'm done. That's guy give up.
All right, it's the Moya girl. Iris.
Oh, okay. Adjacent. All right.
Yes, but incorrect. Fine. Okay.
Yeah.
So Chris McGarry is Danny, and he is in one episode of Private Practice. And Caitlin Leone, Iris, was in two episodes of Scandal. Do you remember in Scandal? The VP that isn't Ellis runs for president. What is her name?
The VP that isn't Ellis.
Yeah, his second vice president. She runs for president. Anyways, it's her daughter, Casey.
Oh, I don't remember.
And she's always like, Casey. The lady
from, she looks like she's almost like Amy Klobuchar's character from Minnesota. Yes. She's like the, okay, yeah. Yes. Okay.
Yes, okay. So that's who that is.
Amazing. Well, I'm going to open up these little Pokemon guys really quickly here. And it's just three.
I've been looking,
cards.
And I have not seen a single Pokemon card. But I'll be honest, I don't look that hard.
That's very fair. I've recruited our entire Grey's Academy family, Laura, to look for cards for me. It's not healthy. It's okay, though.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. He has a problem.
I have a problem. All right.
Problem.
So we've got...
That is a bat. And okay.
Oh, yeah. Little zoo bat with little... And okay. It's got the little pumpkin Pikachu there.
That is cute. That is a rock that's roaring and has a scarf.
It's a dog.
What?
It's a... Houndstone. It's a dog gravestone.
Oh,
it's
it is
of
a
like
rock.
He's a goofy
okay,
goober.
It's a
there.
Dog that's made of a rock. That is what a flying is bubble guy. That's a hot
it
air
is.
Balloon.
Drift.
Nailed
blim.
It.
Drift.
This is, I'm not a Pokemon person, so this is a new Same. Thing where Carmen opens it and shows it to me, and I say what I think it is.
Well, yeah.
And sometimes the screen is pixelated, so that's a extra little.
Oh, it gets extra
wrench
good.
Thrown
yeah.
in.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But sometimes she nails it. You know, like last week was easy. There was a dolphin. There were like three monkeys. Mm-hmm. It was great.
A lot of monkeys.
So I also have a Halloween themed question for you guys because again, okay. a little bit of a glutton for punishment when it comes to my emotional state sometimes. But I find myself watching a lot. of clips from the movie World War Z, Brad Pitt.
Oh, gosh. Mm-hmm.
Zombie movie, for those of you who have not seen. It's actually a really good one. But I was watching clips of World War Z while walking down Jackson in Chicago today. And I see this mom and dad walk out of the Sears Tower lot, the like lobby, pushing their young child in a stroller. And here's my question. If your child got infected with the zombie virus and they're coming at you and trying to kill you, could you kill them first?
Oh, God.
I know. I could probably run away, though.
Oh.
Or I could.
I don't know that I
would already be a zombie, realistically. Like 2 days ago, I asked Michael, I was like, if we were in a zombie apocalypse, would I be the leader of the group or the comic relief? And he was like, and I go, I know realistically I would already be a zombie. But if those are your only two choices, which one? When he was like, he would be comic relief. He would not be leading a group.
It's a scary.
I think realistically, I'm probably already a zombie. And if my kid's a zombie, I probably want to be a zombie too, so we can hang out and do zombie things together.
Yeah.
In my zombie apocalypse, zombies are fun. So,
well, because I think like as zombies, like you don't know you're a zombie. You're not conscious. Like,
you have
to eat brains, and I'm in pain. I think you're just like mindlessly going to eat brains.
It's very animalistic instinct only. Just
get so like sign me up, and then if I die, I'm gonna be like whatevs because I'm a zombie, so I don't even know it, right? Like this is why like,
I'm a zombie already.
I mean, this is how I make myself feel better at night because like the apocalypse scares the shit out of me. That's like my biggest anxiety trigger. So I'm like, you know, yeah, man, just bite me. Let's get it done. You know.
You know what's really funny about that?
My family has a lot of contingency plans, and I'm like, I don't want to survive the apocalypse. I'm fine to go out with everything.
Yeah.
Thank you, though, for including me.
It's like when you rewatch the, remember when in like the 2012 era where everyone was making doomsday movies, end of the world movies? I don't want to survive through the frozen tundra of Earth. I want to go out in the wave that crashes through New York. If I have to drown, fine. I don't want to freeze mid-step, right?
You, so you're talking about that one with
28
Days Later? It's Dennis Quaid.
No, not the zombie one. Dennis Quaid.
And he, like, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Makes his way to New York.
Yes. That was just Jake on Gyllenhaal. TV the other day.
Yeah.
Wait, what is that one? Called? I thought that was 28 Days Later.
No, it's not 28 Days Later.
No, that's the zombie one. It is called like... Day After Tomorrow or something.
That's it.
Now I understand why I'm confused. Yes, that's what it was.
Yes. No, but 28 Days Later, I think that I can't watch that movie, but I did start to watch it. And that's like, it starts with a kid at the end of the hallway, right? The parents in the bedroom watching, and the kid like all of a sudden just like like comes down the hall terrifyingly zombie-esque to eat them.
I haven't seen either of those.
I don't know. No, thank you.
Yeah, I remember The Day After Tomorrow because South Park did a skit where they were making fun of the end of the world, and they're like, our calculations are all wrong. The end of the world's going to happen 2 days before The Day After Tomorrow. And they're like, oh my God, that's today. And it was just great. Anyways, South Park. Yeah, I don't think I could kill Marlo even if she is a zombie. I don't think I'm like, okay, baby, come here. Give me a hug. It's fine. Kill me. I'll take the infection. The worst part's got to be the transition to from human to zombie, and after that, you don't feel anything until death succumbs.
Nobody seems really upset though. Like in Last of Us when they get the thing, like they don't seem upset. They just all of a sudden go from okay to like I'm going to eat you. I don't know.
Yeah. And I think the whole plot of I Am Legend, if you read the book, is that the zombies just kind of restart civilization once everyone's infected. And Will Smith's the bad guy.
Oh.
If you read
the
book.
So they have a consciousness? Like, I feel like they're in that conscious. Movie, like, oh, that scene where they're all huddled around something, like, like convulsing and eating it. I'm like, what is going on? I can't.
Yeah. Too much.
I can't.
Too much. And they killed a dog.
Yes.
German Shepherd, of course. All right. So Arizona and Lauren and Callie.
Yeah.
They like all want to fuck. Like there's going to be stuff happening here.
You think? You think them there?
I official prediction.
It's been so long threesome. Since you've had a threesome prediction.
But this feels like the most legitimate one that we've had in a long time. Callie says she thinks she loves her. Arizona's clearly smitten. And Lauren's like, oh yeah, I'm into everything. This is
crazy. I mean,
yeah.
But like, okay, can we just talk about this for a minute? There are so many hot lesbians in this scenario. And I'm just wondering, like, how real life is that? Okay.
Well, like, and that they're all like brilliant doctors. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, really, realistically, if you look at the whole surgeons. Show, every single person on the show is wildly attractive. And it's like, all right.
Yeah.
I know smart people are the aren't odds? All also this stunningly beautiful.
Well, and but go how in the do hospital, they all like, know they're gay too? Like, that's the other thing. Like, when Lauren's just like,
Callie a while.
You're putting, oh, that's my oh, coffee, I see you're what putting you're my sugar in. Like,
the gaydar is like, on point.
Yeah, I do wonder. Yeah. That's a good
for
point.
Those of you
I'd be
listening,
a bad lesbian.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. No, would know nothing.
Are you? I'd be like, yeah, I'm putting too much sugar in my coffee. See you later. Not like, she really likes me. Like, what? No. I don't
she's
know.
Putting too much sugar in my coffee. so, oh, shit. What was I going to say? She is, no, it's,
as a
she
refresher,
is in the show White Collar for any of you out
this,
there listening. This,
okay, first of all, she's in One Tree Hill, Carmen. Get it together. That is what she is
more
from.
More famously White Collar.
No. Get your USA bullshit out of here. She is from Peyton Sawyer from One Tree Hill. Okay.
And
also married to Danny Duquette in real life.
What?
No.
I knew you were going to lose your mind at that one.
Jeffrey Dean yep. Morgan?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yep. They're married in real life.
Stop.
Mm-hmm.
Those yeah. kids must be beautiful.
I don't know if they have kids, but if they do, I would imagine they're lovely.
Yeah.
But yes, so.
That's wild.
Full circle moment.
Also, One Tree Hill, that's the show that was famous for having two second clips of Angels and Airwaves.
Oh.
And One Tree in basketball.
Really?
The Angels and Airwaves, I think it was in the I Empire era. They were like the band that played at their school dance or something. It was like,
oh,
totally unreal.
I don't remember that episode, but I did watch that show.
Or was it One Tree Hill? I need to Google this. All right. Tell us about stuff while I do a Google search.
So Lauren's there to operate on a baby whose brain was born like outside of his nose and like kind of, it's similar to a cleft palate, but way more intense. So they have to bring
in... She called
in,
it like a cleft face, I think,
yeah,
in the episode.
They have to bring
like,
in a specialist.
Face, this is something you only get to see once in your career.
Yeah, everyone's like really even? Excited because this is super rare.
Yes.
And it's the brain. The brain's on the outside.
Yeah, it's out fully like out of his nose, but in where, like underneath, the cleft palate isn't developed because she's like, oh, once we fix the brain part, it's basically a normal cleft palate repair. It's just the brain part that makes it unique, which is fair
dicey.
Because brains are a pretty big deal.
Yes.
I read that
interesting
somewhere.
That Derek's not looped in on this to me. I mean,
same.
I'm fine.
Yeah, I thought
not
that
having
as well. But
looped
he's,
in, but I mean, he's busy, but it's like, I just don't, nice. It is a brain. So anyways, they bring in this specialist, Dr. Boswell. She's like a big deal. Everyone knows who she is. So everyone's so excited she's there. She's hitting on Arizona immediately. Immediately hitting on her.
Yes.
Not even subtly.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it went right over my head. I would have thought she was just a woman talking to me at the coffee cart. Again, I don't know. I don't know.
So Arizona's like, what do I do? Someone's hitting on me. What do I do? I'll just announce everything about my life. And so
I have one leg.
that really took me
leg.
Out.
She's like, I know there's only how many Arizona Robins do you think there are on the internet?
One right in her face. She's like,
as she walks by.
Yeah.
And Arizona is very, like, at first she's like, oh, what do I do? And then at the end she's like, oh, she Googled me. Now I'm turned on. She looked up any information about me on the internet. Interesting.
It's a weird storyline. And they even, at one point, they loop in Callie, where Arizona's like, Callie, totally, you should come here and stand next to me. And then Callie comes in and she's like, can I be on the surgery, Dr. Hot Person? And she's like, yeah, absolutely. The more hotties, the better. So it's you know, and great. Like we're pro hot consensual, you know, observance of surgeries. But then then later on in the elevator is when Arizona's like, yeah, dude, I can't even stand in this elevator with you without telling you that I am married and have one leg.
I know. That was
didn't
a
bring
lot.
Up Sophia at all.
Nope.
You know. But
it's also, I'm like, okay, she's like, Callie, get in here. Doesn't introduce her. Doesn't say this is my wife, Callie Torres. Really could have nipped it in the bud right there.
Yeah. Could've, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
It's just really get it done.
Yeah.
She missed really opportunity for that one, in my opinion. And so, and then I mean, but Lauren
and
is
that's when Callie's like, oh, I think I love her.
Yeah. Speaking yeah. in a way that Arizona, I think, is taking it as like she's hitting on me, but Callie's also like laughing as though she's in on the joke. So then Arizona, it feels like Arizona doesn't know what's going on. And it feels like, okay, is this just who this person is? Like, do they just flirt with everybody? I don't know.
Oh. And then the elevator happens.
And then the elevator happens. So it does feel more targeted to Arizona specifically. And so, yeah. That was, you know, it's about the surgery has not occurred by the end of this episode. It is going to be occurring. So she's not done yet with her baby brain outside of the body or with her.
Yeah, there's more.
Yes.
Yeah, it, here's the thing. I don't think this is, now I'm talking predictions here. I don't think a world exists where Arizona's going to cheat. Official prediction, Arizona's not going to cheat. I do think this is going to spark an awkward conversation, especially because the feelings that Arizona is having are different than the long journey that we've had back to sexual intimacy for Callie and Arizona up to this point since the loss of her leg. Mm-hmm. So I'm fearful that Lauren's presence is going to spark a fight. And I think that she's going to be on next episode. This is going to be something that lingers into another episode, maybe even two. But I fear that the cliffhanger is going to be they want us to think that there's going to be a cheating happening before the end of the season. But I don't think that there will be actual cheating. Or if there is cheating, it won't be something that breaks Arizona and Callie up. But Unless I'm totally off and this is not a multi episode storyline, I think that there will be a cliffhanger around Arizona and Lauren.
Well, I guess we'll never know. Or we'll know next week, one or the other.
We'll never know.
we'll never know until next week.
So I also oftentimes like to go, who knows? And Cameron will say, you know. I'll say most of the listeners know.
Yeah.
A large chunk the of the world knows. At least 8.8 million people know.
Yes. Well, but then, you know, like I don't remember any of it.
That's true.
Too. And I watched it. And I've rewatched it. So there's that.
Yes.
So yeah, she's fun to have around. Yeah, the weird thing to me, I was just like, wouldn't maybe Derek be looped in a little bit? But maybe not. I mean, yeah. Jackson to me makes sense because he does most of the cleft palate surgeries. Arizona obviously makes sense because she's Pete's surgeon. Callie makes sense because Arizona's trying to deflect the attraction that she feels. But yeah, that's all on that one. Did you have any other thoughts on Lauren and the baby brain?
My only other note here is when Arizona is in the introduction room with Jackson and Lauren goes, we can talk strategy later. And the eye contact was so laser focused and sexually charged. I almost fell out of my chair. It was intense. And she held that. She really like stopped and she turned back in and said,
I look forward to that.
And then mm-hmm.
I hope I see you again. I'm so excited to look at you more. So yeah, she's shooting her shot.
It's absolutely.
As it were, it seems.
And Denny's ghost is just in the hallway watching all of this happen.
Mm-hmm.
With Izzy.
For sure. Always.
Oh no, she's not dead.
Right.
You killed Izzy?
Denny. So yeah, that's I know.
Daddy. Sorry.
Her husband
got some drunk girls. Guard
from that one.
Yeah, that was a rough one. That was a rough one.
Yep.
Okay. So then Derek's storyline. He's still with Heather and not Shane, and Shane's still mad, and Heather still doesn't like neuro but is good at it. He has this little girl who has a moya moya, which is part of her brain is not getting the blood that it's meant to get. I'm not 100% positive.
Yeah, I don't know. I missed that part.
It's fun to say though.
And so
Derek, the storyline with this is the brother of this little girl is, I don't want to say the worst, but he's kind of the worst. Like, it's hard because I'm like, sometimes little kids suck, but like, it's not always their fault, but he does kind of suck.
Oh, that? Yes, I do remember this story. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's for sure acting out, but he's acting out.
He's definitely acting out. But, and they're not. The parents are not doing a whole lot to curb it. Like
They're overwhelmed, though. They're like, we got to figure out what's going on with your sister.
For sure. My first thought would be like, is there anyone who can watch this child not in this building? Anyone in the world could maybe babysit this kid. That would be my first step. My second step would be, unfortunately,
can you watch this kid?
Unfortunately, one of us is going to step out of the room and the other one is going to listen to the doctor. And then we'll just have to relay the information. Maybe I'll record it on my phone. That would be my second step.
I thought, because I can't remember shit about the show, is that I thought the kid that they were going to be like diagnose him with something. You know?
Diagnose him
that
with
that kid's on the stop spectrum giving him, or something like that.
Yeah, stop giving him sugar. And that's
Bobby
the diagnosis.
Or whatever his name is. I don't know. Yeah, or psychosis. Yes, that too. But then they didn't, and he punched the intern or whatever.
Heather just took an army guy to the brain. Like, I don't know what that was about. And the parents really didn't do much.
Nothing.
They both leave the room. And Kelsey, to your point, I'm like, let's have, if this kid is like this and they know it, let's have ground rules. If
there's no ground rules when your kid is acting like that.
If little Danny Dickhead is going to be a jerk, I'll go with him and you stand. Davey, is that his name?
His name is David, yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. Little David Dickhead. You know, if he's running around being a jerk, one of them has to know ground rules. I'm following him. You get
like it doesn't need to be a two-person job when the other child's about to have brain surgery. That could be a two-person job.
Yeah.
It was just like the whole reason for this plot line is so at the end when Derek and Meredith are playing with Zola, Derek can go, what if our new baby sucks?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is like, okay, bump the brakes, Derek.
All right.
Let's take the context of the situation. Obviously, this child is acting out because his sister is probably getting most of the attention all the time, which is still bad and wrong. But, like, you don't know. This kid might not suck all of the time. He might just suck in this specific circumstance. And, again, to your point, the parents are not, doesn't really seem like they're trying to do much diffusing. It seems like they're just going, okay, maybe just don't do that, when maybe this child needs to be physically restrained with a straitjacket. I don't know.
And medicated, maybe.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's just the whole point, I was like, why did we? And then also, I think for Shane and Heather to be like bickering at each other because she doesn't want to be on neuro and Shane is still mad that he doesn't get to be on neuro anymore. So like that whole storyline is just kind of there to further other plots in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought Meredith was correct when she was responding to Derek. She was like, yes, he will take her toys because that's what brothers do. And she'll deal with it because that's what she's going to have to do because she's going to have a brother. And we're all going to be fine. Kids transition from, you know, only children to having siblings and everyone copes with it, you know? And mm-hmm. Meredith, and she's like, look, Derek, you're wearing a tiara. She's good at getting her way. I think we'll be fine.
Yeah.
And they all looked good. Derek looked good in the tiara. Meredith looked good in the little cat things. One of the things that I think is important to also call out about this storyline is it did give some comedic relief to Heather, who they're writing to be kind of a weirdo And yeah. I like it, yes. But also she needs to be a little funny because it's like you got to have some likability, redeemable qualities to these characters. So the weirdness needs to be measured out or weighed out a little bit by the comedy. And when Derek's like, hey, David, you got to be careful because I put some magic in there. So be nice to your sister. And then Heather's like, yeah. And he put a fucking vampire in there. So don't.
That was brilliant.
So watch out.
Watch your back.
Yeah. So fucking hit me again, bitch. Yeah. That mm-hmm. was,
I will unleash that vampire so quick.
Yeah. Yes. That one. I did like so, that they kind of gave her that. They were like, you know what? There's a way to get back at a kid that hits you.
Yeah.
And it's by just lying to them.
Punk ass bitch, David.
That's right.
So yeah. I could have done really honestly. There wasn't much more to that storyline, in my opinion. It was just kind of.
That was it.
Yeah.
There was, you know, there was one point, nothing happened from it, but where Derek tells the family, yeah, she'll start to have the brain will absorb more blood to those parts of the brain that we did surgery on. And Heather's like, in a couple weeks, and Derek shoots her a look, and then nothing happens from that.
Yeah, that was kind of unresolved. Yeah. It did kind of seem like it's laying the groundwork. Like I was almost like, does she want to get kicked off of his service? Is she just being like, if you're gonna make me learn this, I'm gonna still tell them all of the realities? Like,
is she just being weird?
Yeah, I'm like, is this just how you're gonna doctor? Like, I remember it was like season 1 or 2, maybe. When Alex was working with Burke and he was really aggressive with the patient about like the reality of her diagnosis, and Burke tried to punish him and he was like, no, I'm going to keep being honest and you don't get to take away my honesty and call it a lesson. So it kind of reminded me of that, but with less aggressiveness because, you know, Alex versus Heather.
Yeah.
Not as aggressive.
Yeah.
So, I agree. That was kind of a setup with nothing. No payoff.
No follow-up. There was no... It was a transgression with no punishment. And honestly, it's fine. Like, I think Heather is interesting. She's quirky. I kind of like her and Derek together. I'm glad that they went a whole episode without talking about her bad breath and gum. Like, that was a good relief. I didn't need any more of those conversations. Mm-hmm. But it is interesting because we don't get a lot of characters that show a natural ability for something that they actively don't want to do. It's like if Christina was like, sure, I can build a heart from scratch, but like, I would rather build you custom orthotics for your fucking arches, you know, like, I don't know. But, and I don't even know what Heather really likes, but she was all raving about the sawed person in half, and Shane was like, but the Moya Moya is so cool.
Yeah, it's a weird dynamic.
They're interesting interns. I just need more Joe. Just give me more Joe. That's all I need.
More Joe.
Well,
more
we also had some Stephanie in this one.
Hairball, nice.
We had some Stephanie with Jackson being like, are we dating? Are you ignoring me because you're busy? And she's like, I'm annoyed that I am asking.
I hate them.
Like, it's, I don't feel like they've, because when they first start sleeping together, we see them for like an episode and a half having a relationship. And then it just, we don't see it for a very long time. And then now in this episode, she's like, why are you calling me? Which is a fair question if you're in a relationship with someone. But I don't think for viewers, they've really built up enough of us caring about their relationship to have this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know that I care about the relationship.
That's what I'm saying, because they haven't given us time or reason to.
Right.
The will they, won't they clearly is happening with Jackson and April. And the scene, we still have drunk girls to talk about.
Oh,
lest us not forget about the drunk women. But April is, April in that storyline, it's kind of the vessel for Jackson and her spending more time together. And there's that scene in the beginning where Seth is like, you haven't called me for 8 or 11 days or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go out tonight. And he stood her up on a date, I think the night before. And by the end of the episode, April invites Jackson out. He says no, because I think we're led to believe that he's like, I have Stephanie time that I must do. Then he goes to get drinks with Alex. Yes. He forgets again.
Yeah.
But it was.
And then kisses her. And I'm like, and
she gave him the out.
I know. Why is he hanging on? I don't like them together.
And she's like, she's like, I deserve better. And she's like, if it's your job, that's fine. I still deserve better. And she does. And it can be his job. But if your job is doing too much for you to also be in a relationship, don't be in a relationship.
Yeah.
That's a fair request. She's being honest. She's being upfront about what her needs are. But yeah, he's like, ooh, smooches. And I'm like, this is not the time.
Nope. Not the time. Read the room, buddy.
And then, I mean, obviously him and April work together and she apologizes. And then, but she's like acting like her life is still in shambles. But her and Matthew got back together at the end of last episode. So it's like, what are you upset about now, April? It's enough. April, like, yes, these girls are annoying. I don't understand really. The whole thing at the end where she's like, you should study and be doctors and senators. Like, I don't want that.
Be awesome.
I don't want those people to be my doctors or senators, and they likely are. So, it's one of those things. So, I don't really understand what was her motivation for telling them, like, oh, be a different person. Like, they're 21.
Because she's April, and she's annoying as hell, and she wants to tell everybody to do what she wants them to do and love Jesus. And
April.
I dig on God, but like, don't push it on me. Yeah. Anyway, I just love that Jackson was in the background going like, no, it was great. Yeah. When she's saying that to the girls, he's like,
what? He's like, oh, I don't want, they cannot be CEOs.
No thank you.
Mm-hmm. Also when they call Jackson, when they see Jackson in the ER and they're like, my breasts are sick. They need you to examine them. And their friend is like actively vomiting blood because her stomach has burst open because she drank liquid nitrogen. Like that's bar must get in trouble for this, right?
That feels bad day.
Like that's on
what
the
bar.
What
they call it? A smoky nipple?
Smoky nipple.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, what it's like smoky. And it's, I'm like, I have never heard of that drink, but I am old. But I mean, no.
Mm-mm. I don't think my 21 heyday, I'm not getting a drink that's called the smoky nipple. Can we call it the
the
mystic nipple, or like the,
can we just call it a tequila shot? Like, that's fine. Not everything needs to be in production.
Pour the liquor in a cup. And then April, when she said, I need you guys to tell me everything that went in your friend's mouth tonight. And they're like, everything.
wieners.
Like, she found a glory hole in the bathroom. Like, I don't know what you want me to tell you, Doc. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. It was, it was one of them's 21st birthday. So obviously they had been going here, there, and yonder drinking since brunch. All kinds of things. She drank
liquid
nitrogen.
And the one girl has a study group in an hour? They pulled an all-nighter.
Yeah.
Yeah. That study group is not going
to
go well.
Yeah, she's not going to go to that. She's not going to go to the
study. She's not making it.
They're not going to take their books on spring break. No. Sorry, April.
It's
realistic.
It's a non-refundable deposit.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
They're annoying. Yeah.
Was there any other takeaway from that other than they're annoying?
They're hot. I mean, they were hot and annoying. Two things can be same at the same time.
When they were like, it's your 21st birthday, I'm like, maybe it's your 26th birthday.
Right?
You know what I mean? Like, sometimes the casting, I'm like, all right, I understand.
Come on,
but
guys.
Come on. Yeah, you could have found a 21-year-old.
Yeah.
You could have found a 21-year-old.
Again, they do use this as hold on, I did make a note of this. When I wrote that they were implying something about a blowjob of some sort, I put a little asterisk here, and I feel like I need the world to know I am all about the consensual sexual relations. I don't feel like intoxicated consensual sexual relations are actually consensual. So don't do things while intoxicated. So just be careful out there, people. Needed to put a little PSA on that one. We have April's doing the surgery, and basically it's, they have to remove the stomach completely and then attach the stomach back to the esophagus, and they have to do everything. Like, Jackson's like, this is crazy awesome. I want to scrub in with you. That's when we get the apology, and she says, I'm crazy. And he gives her the Han Solo response of, I know. And when Jackson's kind of admiring her techniques, he gets this point where he's like, I spend half my time in meetings. I don't really get to practice surgery. We do get a cute moment with April, as annoying as she is, of you're keeping this place together, and that's pretty miraculous. Sure, you're not flying across the world like Dr. Hot Lauren is, but you're getting to do things that are incredible. And with what this hospital's been through, the fact that you're keeping it together is nice. I like that she says that. I feel like we spent the last two episodes of everyone just jumping against Jackson every chance they can.
Even
and railing
part of
on
this
him.
One, they're like, it's Jackson's fault. Even, like, they're very blaming
Jackson.
Guys, still
the CDC.
Blaming it's
Jackson
Jackson's the, fault. Don't only be mad at Jackson.
Yeah.
So I like that for a moment in time, we get Jackson actually having like someone appreciate him. That's nice.
I also have to shout out the dresses that those girls are wearing. That was peak going out clothing in 2013, the bandage dress and like the chunky necklace. I was like, ah, yes, 2013.
Yes.
What a time to be alive.
I remember you.
What a time to be alive, freezing in those with
still
like 4-inch platform heels for no reason. So
I was pregnant with my second child in 2013, so I wasn't wearing that, but I can vaguely remember. Yep.
Good stuff. But yeah, that took me back.
What I was trying to think, what did the one podcast, the negative review say? Well, that's fun.
Oh yeah, right. I do. Apparently,
we had a podcast review.
That's the drinking game. They're like, oh, if you take a shot every time someone says, well, that's fun, you'll be drunk immediately. Do you feel like we've said that 100 times? Because they do. That person feels that way.
Oh, well, I didn't notice it.
So. Well, there you go.
We don't. Yeah.
So there you go. That's right.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No. You're good. You were going to probably do exactly what I was about to do, which is getting to the other couple
the Bailey
plot points
of it all.
We haven't. So, yep, the Bailey of it all.
The other main plot point in this is that Bailey's ignoring everyone. She's locked herself in the genome lab. She won't take any new patients. She's not talking to anybody. And they don't show what she's doing. They just show everyone trying to talk to her and her ignoring everyone. So then at the very end, they finally pan over and you see that she has been testing herself in her lab obsessively, like hundreds of times in theory. For the strain of staph that she had previously been tested positive for, and they treated, and now, you know, all of the test results are coming up negative, but she is convinced that it's not going to be negative and she's going to be responsible for someone else's
death.
She does. That was heartbreaking. Yeah. So she's not talking to anyone. So Richard calls Ben and is like, this is going on. You need to come here. So he flies in and she finally opens the door and lets him in, and she tells him, like, you know, I put my hands in my patients and they died because of me. And he's like, it's not your fault. And she's like, it literally is my fault and I'm dirty and I don't know, like, they want me to go and operate again, but you know, I keep running these tests and they keep being negative, but what if the next one's not negative? So it's very sad.
Meanwhile, can we say, where the heck was Tuck during all of this? This is what I always say.
Yeah.
My husband and I, the whole time on the show, where the fuck are the kids? Okay.
Yes. We say, where is HR? We say that a lot.
Yeah.
Where is HR?
Well, that goes without saying. I mean, for all the improprieties, but like, seriously, she's locked herself in a genome lab for like 11 days and her husband is not there.
Yeah.
Maybe he's with his dad. Yep. I don't know. But this is what I get distracted by. My husband and I are watching and I'm just like, where the fuck are the kids? Every time. They must have the best daycare at that hospital. That's all I'm
truly
saying. Like 24/7 hot daycare for the, I don't know. It's crazy.
So it is, Ben comes back. It's very sweet. Very sweet reunion. He's very focused, and she's like, oh, your intern test is soon. And he's like, that is not my job. Like, my main job is being your husband. Everything else, whatever.
Absolutely.
Like, if you need me to be
Ben.
Here. Yes. Love Ben.
Yes.
Love Ben.
Yeah.
I do wish, when Bailey's like, who sent you? And he's like, it's not important. I wish he'd been like, Weber. Weber called me. Who do you think called me?
Right.
But we don't get that closure as viewers, obviously. The scene where she's doing the test. She's wiping her, she's swabbing her hand, and it pans to like literally 100 tests. That could have been the end of the episode, and that would have fucked you up mentally for a whole week.
Yeah. Mm.
That would have been just such an ominous ending scene. And then there's like 20 minutes left after that. It is pretty crazy. Like, I don't think I realized, Kelsey, kind of like what you were saying is they have the patient wrap ups, and then there's like another other half of this episode arc that exists with all the other storylines, kind of the personal stuff. And this is one of them. But yeah, where could someone not have just said, hey, Tuck, go say hi to your mom and unlock the door so you can sneak in?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're like, no, rather let's ambush her after she's peed. That'll be healthy and good.
Yeah, that was a lot to witness.
That's what friends and bosses do, right?
Yeah.
That's where we got to get HR involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a little much. That was over the line.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Because that text thread was like, I watched Bailey leave the bathroom. Everyone meet me or leave for the bathroom. Everyone meet me there. As soon as she's done peeing, we're going to
the entire board of the hospital.
Right. Yeah.
Please come and stand outside the bathroom so we can harass our peer and coworker who's already clearly having a hard time.
But they don't even see that. They just think Bailey, you know,
they're like, oh, she's just so mad. Strong.
Yeah.
They think it's only anger.
Bailey. Bailey.
Yeah, which obviously we love Miranda Bailey. She is an angel. But this is a rough one. We hate to see her sad. I definitely, her train of thought for me tracks really well. Like, I definitely understand how she got there and like the nerve around going back into the OR and being like, I don't want to be responsible for someone else. I mean, she's like, this was a mother, a son, a teacher, and I killed them and it's my fault. And he's like, it's not your fault. She's like, it is my fault. And I can't go back in there. And I keep running these tests and it says they're negative, but like, what if they're not negative? So poof.
Yep.
And we get that scene in the, when I know this is a little bit of a callback here, but Callie goes into the operating room for Chainsaw Lady. And that's when they're like, Weber, I need you to go talk to Bailey. Mm-hmm. She'll listen to you of all people. And Weber says, I hurt her deeply in a way that I don't know that can ever be repaired. So she does not want to talk to me.
Right. That was a big statement.
In front of everyone.
Yeah.
Like, very big statement.
No one asks any follow-up. No one's like, what the fuck did you do? They're just like, all right.
Did you?
Okay. Yeah. This guy. So I don't, it's just, it's hard to watch Bailey be sad.
Obviously. Yeah.
Yes. And this episode this episode's like, every little storyline has someone to blame, right? So like Owen's still blaming Christina because Paul isn't awake. And Owen's blaming Nancy because Ethan got into the drugs. And Derek... was Derek blaming anyone? Derek might not have had a blaming person. But the magicians the are all obviously like blame, right. Yeah. Like, who are we blaming? Obviously, the guy with the chainsaw feels like the right answer. Everyone else is like, it's still Jackson's fault. But then Miranda just is like blaming herself. So it does feel, it's just hard. It's hard to watch. It makes me sad.
Yeah,
I don't like it when she's sad.
Fun. Yeah,
yeah, it's not good.
Before we go on to the last kind of the storyline, Laura, where does Bailey rank in your current, like, is she one of your big fan characters as of season 9? Is that one that you like, or is, you said it sounds like you're not a big Christina fan because of the
not a Yang fan, no,
but is generally liked in your fandom?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, how can you not respect, if nothing else, Bailey? Yeah. But yes. Yeah, yeah, there's some love in my heart for her. Yeah.
Yeah. She's got some, I mean, they give her some really great storylines. Like the whole, her, like when she is pregnant and becomes a mother and all of that storyline, I thought was done very well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Baby George.
Name him Tuck. So the last storyline I think we have, unless there's anything that I missed, is, there's like this acknowledgement now from Alex to Christina that he loves Joe.
Emo Alex.
And
I know, with the head, the headphones in.
the hood on. Whatever. I was like, yes, emo Alex.
Yeah, that was great.
What's funny is, like, all these emo bands were around. Why could it not have been some Secondhand Serenade or some My Chem? Like, why could we not? It's the metal is the cliche. Metal is so cliche.
But that to me, so it fits cliche for Alex. Like, if he was listening to, you know, Secondhand Serenade, I'd be like, no, that doesn't track. It needs to be screaming. Like, because that's how he.
What if he had been listening to
is screaming?
What have we been listening to? If You Believe in Magic.
Yeah.
That's great.
That'd have been really funny.
I like that Christina is harassing him and simultaneously having his back, because when the elevator opens to Joe, she's like, fuck off. We don't have any room for you. Take the stairs.
It's closed.
So I did like that. And then, okay, so the implication here is last week she's mad because Alex tells Jason that Joe had a hard childhood. And apparently Joe had not shared that information, but did not tell Alex that it was a secret. And so Alex rightfully assumed that her boyfriend, who she is moving in with, would have known that. And the escalation is, okay, now we're yelling at each other. And then smash cut, he has, in the assumption is, Jason has punched her in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were yelling at each other when Alex left the hospital. And she's like, can I stay here tonight? And then it ends.
Yep.
So did that take you aback? Catch you off guard a little bit?
Absolutely caught me off guard. I was not expecting that at all. And when Joe showed up, I was like, oh, okay. So like we're gonna go ahead and start the love storyline. This'll be nice. This'll be cutesy. And when she looks up and her whole face is just disintegrated, I'm like, I don't like this. This is not fun at all. And we're being led to believe that it's Jason. That's like maybe too easy of a storyline. There's maybe there's something different afoot that we don't know what's happening. That maybe she got into a fight. Maybe she, you know, who knows? But I don't know. There's,
I mean, it definitely seems like she got in a fight. We just don't know.
It seems like she got into a fight. Yeah. So, but again, you know, hate the domestic violence aspect of it. As someone who's seen the domestic violence up close, not from, you know, a couple like this, from the parents, way less trauma.
Is it?
You know, it's all about perspective. It's not good to see Alex. I have no idea what he's going to do after this, what he's going to, if it is Jason, what that means for them moving forward. I have no idea. No idea.
Here's what's interesting to me is like everything. Okay. So we've seen some red flags from Jason to Alex. We have not really seen, other than that moment of them fighting before, like when Alex is leaving the hospital, they've not shown any.
No,
like, really not much of them being together, other than her being like, we're going to live together. And Alex is like, well, that's dumb. I think that guy sucks. Which is not to say anything, because oftentimes abusers hide the fact that they're terrible people. That's how they get you. But I just thought it was, again, like a very rapid escalation of the plot line. She's like, because it seems like they're like, oh, we should lead up to this. So they're like, they have a little moment where she's like, ugh, there's no room in my new apartment. I wish I didn't live there, basically, when they're watching the magic trick. And it's like a very offhand moment. And then, they're yelling at each other when Alex leaves the hospital. So I'm like, I almost wish there had been nothing, like just make it look like everything's fine. And then this, because that to me rings more true than like, oh, two comments earlier today. So that was the buildup to her getting hurt. I'm like, just show up hurt. To me, that could track even truer to experiences that I've been familiar with. It just felt like shoehorned in.
It definitely was a bit jarring, to say the least, at the end there. But they needed to write Joe out of the relationship somehow. This feels pretty extreme, but you know,
It's Grey's Anatomy.
You got to do something, so. And it's Grey's Anatomy, yes. You know? So what I don't want to happen is I don't want Alex to go and like fight him and then get in trouble. Like that doesn't seem like a fair next step for anyone involved.
Well, but I guess we'll maybe find out next week.
We will maybe find out next week.
Well, do you have any other stray observations to throw in at the end that we missed over? Anything you wrote down that you wanted to get out before we make some predictions and rate the episode?
Mm. I got nothing.
Mm. Okay, I think we touched on most things that I had notated. Owen, just really over the Owen situation. That's yes. Like my main Owen. Over the Ethan storyline, the Owen-Christina. Just done. I'm done with it.
It's just why we don't need it anymore.
Every time they're laying right. together, every time they're smooching, every time they're flirting, I'm like, but why? But why?
Why though?
And there's just no stop. Reason. I'm not given a reason why. They just keep doing
right.
it.
Right. Right.
I don't love it.
Same.
It's not like when we had Laura, just so you know, I also had some beef with the length of Christina's like healing journey after the Gary Clark thing and not wanting to be a surgeon and like her journey there. But I just think that the difference here is I don't care about Ethan. I don't care about.
Yeah.
It's not a main character. Like you're making me want to fall in love with a side quest here. It makes mm-hmm. no sense.
Well, here's what I'll say with Christina and Owen. I don't love, this is a hot take, but I've said it many times before. I don't love Derek and Meredith, but at least they have undeniable chemistry and they have good moments yes. together. I personally think Owen and Christina don't have chemistry and they don't have good moments together. So I'm like, you're giving like the back and forth with Meredith. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Meredith.
And Derek. At least the payoff, it was like, okay, I kind of can see it. Like it's worth it. I get it. With Christina and Owen, I'm like, I cannot see it and it's not worth it. So please stop.
Right.
So that's to me one of the main issues where I'm like, just stop. Just please, for the love of God. Like you're both miserable and you just keep doing it. Why? Mm-hmm. There's other people in the world. So
yeah,
I would love for that.
And they both deserve to be happy. They both deserve to have the things they want.
Yes.
Like if Owen really wants to be a parent, he deserves to be a parent and with someone who loves him the way that Christina does. Those two things can exist at the same time.
Yes.
So it's whatever. This is a weird, weird
here
story.
It is.
I'm done with it.
Yes. Okay. So let's predict some things, Carmen. Why don't you predict something with Owen and Ethan and Christina and Nancy and Paul?
The official prediction is that Paul's going to die, the grandma sucks, and Owen is adopting Ethan. That's the official prediction that I have there.
Okay. What about Joe and Alex and Jason?
I don't want this to happen, but I think what's going to happen is Alex is going to physically fight Jason, and for some reason that will win Joe's honor back for her, and they will end up getting married. I like them a lot together. Joe is my new Lexi. I love her. And I think that Alex deserves to be happy. Finally, it's been 9 seasons. Give the man some happiness and then he will get a piano dropped on him from the sky deck at the Space Needle.
That is how Shaun DeLand exists. You get happiness. You get a piano dropped on you.
Yeah.
Or hit by a bus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Team bus. So
I know, right? Same.
And that's a hot take in our fandom here.
That one's pretty split, honestly. It's like 50-50. People get mad at how much I hate George. I've converted some people with my Derek hate, but people are strong in their George love. People don't give. I'm like, you guys, he sucks.
Wow. I don't know.
He sucks a little bit.
It's challenging.
It's hard when you watch it in real time, especially like if you watched it as like a teenager and you have all your little feelings and your crushes, to then go back as an adult and kind of remove yourself from that and go, ooh, wait, you're icky. Actually really icky.
Yes.
So yeah. Okay. Meredith and Derek and Zola and baby. Anything?
Still that the baby's okay. No new predictions on on them.
Miranda and her crisis.
I she's gonna operate. She's not gonna have a long journey outside of the OR. She's gonna be doing surgery next episode. Weber and her, they're gonna be fine. Ben's gonna play a huge part. Ben's gonna tell her that Weber's the one who called me. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be beautiful. And everything's gonna be fine. Their relationship will be fine. And I think actually Weber is gonna apologize to Bailey. And Bailey's going to apologize to Weber because they both said some, well, she said some hurtful things. He did a perceived hurtful thing.
Right.
She said some really intense
she
things.
She did really not go for the jugular.
Mm. Yeah.
I would expect nothing less.
Well, true. Yeah. Yeah.
She's
yeah.
got the abilities. Mm-hmm. And Jackson and April and Matthew and Steph.
I need to see another episode of this. I'm just so annoyed because Jackson got the out from Steph and then kissed her.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So
kept on going.
I need to see more. I need to see more of this.
Always
because been. That storyline between them two makes no sense. The April and Matthew one at least makes sense. The Steph and Jackson one doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I never understood that one. That was, yeah.
Yeah, so. It kind of just was born out of we've had like a one night stand and now we'll have a relationship, which the one night mm-hmm. stand I'm like, okay, I could track that. Obviously all these people are doing that constantly.
Yeah, and the they're attractive, you know, attractive people. Yeah. Bone
you gotta
other.
Be they gotta be boning. So okay, and so let's see, you said with Arizona you think Arizona will have the opportunity but won't cheat, and that will like be a conversation with Callie. Is that your prediction?
Yes, but I am also predicting a threesome.
Right, right. Obviously. It's been so long. Okay, well, I think that's it. oh, wait, no, we have to rate the episode. So sorry.
Yes.
Our rating scale is 1 to 5.
1 to 5. Okay.
But we throw in some very specific decimals for no reason whatsoever.
Okay, great.
I'm going to give this one like a 3.69.
Nice.
It's like just almost a 3.7, but I don't know. It was just okay. It was just all
I have
right.
Like I think I'm gonna do like a 3.8 because I think I liked most of the plot lines and storylines. I just felt like it was really chunky rather than as interwoven as it normally is. Yeah. They were like, we're done with medicine and now we'll do personal versus how it's normally just more kind of a flow. So that to me kind of took it down a little bit. And then it just seemed like there were some storylines that while done fine, were just obviously moving the plot forward and weren't like contributing that much outside of like, pushing someone to be in a, have a thought to say to somebody else. Yeah. So that kind of for me was like, you know, we've obviously seen better. We've seen worse. So yeah, I'm like a 3.8 on this one.
Laura, where are you at? Where are you at on this scale?
I'm like a 2.85. Like this was like a speed bump on the way to some better stuff. Kind
yeah,
of
it's
episode
definitely
where I was like, ugh,
setting on, up some things.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to give it in the twos, but I haven't rated an episode like because honestly, I could have gone mid threes or I could have gone like high twos on this one. I leaned a little bit more on the higher side, but this episode could have very easily been in the twos for me as well.
Yeah.
Honestly, our rating scale is terrible because most of the time, if an episode is just fine, we say 3. It's the middle of the road. When realistically, for a 1 to 5, a 2.5 is the middle of the road. But right. We
it
always are
be.
Like, for,
yeah.
if it will say. 3. It was an episode of Grey's Anatomy. Like that. Well,
have
that's
I
like
ever
how
given
we rated.
Anything a 1? Have
no,
I given a 1 before?
I don't think you've done anything under
just
a 3.
Wait.
So no, well, yeah, wait, we'll fill up those columns later on.
That's
yeah. Right now we're pretty it's consistently in the yeah. 3, 4, 5 range. Honestly, yes. season 9 has been either like in the 3s or high 4s and a lot of 5s. This is a good season.
Yeah, this has been a fun
but
season.
Yeah, this is you know, we're coming around, you know, the show is obviously going to keep going. So we will have many opportunities. They, again, last week was the 450th episode. So
wow,
this is episode 194 for some perspective on where we're at in our journey. So
wow.
90% of the way there.
Indeed.
Based on some math.
Based on wrong math.
On some math. Okay. Amazing.
Never do math live on a podcast.
No.
Right, but thank you guys much for joining. Great. A special thanks, obviously, to Laura for being a fan of Praise. We're so glad to meet you with Shore, and we're so glad you are another podcaster and another Grays nerd to nerd out with us about Grays. We love that. So we'll make sure to share links to Laura's website and Laura's podcast on our episode description. What do you want? What do you want to say?
I was going to say, I hate to put you on the spot, but I really love to put you on the spot. Laura, you get to rate this episode of Hangout Session Time with us on a scale of 1 to 5.
Your time with us.
How would you rate? I'm flipping the proverbial iPad towards you.
Would you like to leave a tip?
Yes. Oh, gosh. That is something that started after COVID, and I'm like, oh my God.
That's so funny.
But this was like a solid 4.5. It would be fine if I wasn't staying up past 11 because I'm old and I need to go to bed. But it was great. So fun. I loved it.
You are awesome. We appreciate that. I'm really glad that we got to have you
up late for us.
Thank you.
But we will release you now to the pillow. And I shall also be going to the pillow. But thank you, listeners, so much. Please make sure you continue to share all of the things. You can go to Grey's Academy Pod and find all of the socials and ways to contact us. And just remember, if you see Carmen walking down the street...
no spoilies! We appreciate you all so much, and we will see you all in the next one.